Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, The Birth of Lord Krishna, Text 27. Martya Mrityu Yala Vita Pralayan Lokan Sarvan Nirabhayam Na Adyagachat Twat Pada Abjam Prapya Yadrichchaya Adya Su Sta Shete Mrityor Asmat Apaiti Martyo Mrityu Vyala Vita Pralayan Lokan Sarvan Nirabhayam Adyagachet Twat Padam Jam Prapya Yadrichayadya Susta Shete Mrityorasmad Apaiti Martya, the living entities who are sure to die. Mrityu, Vyala, Bita, afraid of the serpent of death. Pralayan, running, as soon as the serpent is seen. Everyone runs away. Fearing immediate death. Lokan, to the different planets. Sarvan, all. Nirabhayam, fearlessness. Na, adyagachet, do not obtain. Twat pada abjam, of your lotus feet. Prapya, obtaining the shelter. Yadrichaya, by chance. By the mercy of your lordship. And your representative. The spiritual master. Guru Kripa Krishna Kripa. Adya, presently. Su sta, being undisturbed and mentally composed. Shete, are sleeping. Mrityu, death.
Asmat,
from those persons. Apaiti, please. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. No one in this material world has become free from the four principles, birth, death, old age, and disease, even by fleeing to various planets. But now that you have appeared, my Lord, death is fleeing in fear of you. And the living entities, having obtained shelter at your lotus feet by your mercy, are sleeping in full mental peace. Please repeat. No one in this material world has become free from the four principles. Birth, death, old age, and disease.
Even by fleeing to various planets.
But now that you have appeared,
my Lord,
death is fleeing in fear of you.
And the living entities,
having obtained shelter at your lotus feet,
by your mercy,
are sleeping in full mental peace. Purport, there are different categories of living entities
but everyone is afraid of death. The highest aim of the Karmis is to be promoted to the higher heavenly planets, where the duration of life is very long. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 8:17, Sahasra Yuga Paryantam Ahor Yad Brahmano Vidu. One day of Brahma equals 1,000 yugas, and each yuga consists of 4,300,000 years. Similarly, Brahma has a night of 1,000 times 4,300,000 years. In this way, we may calculate Brahma's month and year, but even Brahma, who lives for millions and millions of years, Dviparada Kala, also must die. According to the Vedic Shastra, the inhabitants of the higher planetary systems live for 10,000 years. And just as Brahma's day is calculated to equal 4,300,000,000 of our years, one day in the higher planetary systems equals 6 of our months. Karmis therefore try for promotion to the higher planetary systems, but this cannot free them from death. In this material world, everyone from Brahma to the insignificant ant must die. Therefore, this world is called Martyaloka. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 8:16, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punar Avartanojana. As long as one is within this material world, either on Brahma Loka or in any other loka within this universe, one must undergo the Kala Chakra of one's life after another, of one life after another. Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate. But if one returns to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yad gyatva na nivartante, one need not re-enter the limits of time. Therefore, devotees who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord can sleep very peacefully with the assurance from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Tyaktva Deham Punarjanma Naiti. After giving up the present body, a devotee who has understood Krishna as he is need not return to this material world. The constitutional position of the living entity is eternity. Na hanyate hanyamane sharire nitya nitya shasvato yam. Every living entity is eternal, but because of having fallen into this material world, one wanders within the universe, continually changing from one body to another. Mahaprabhu says, Brahmande brahmite kon bhagavanji Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Everyone is wandering up and down within this universe. The one who is sufficiently fortunate comes in contact with Krishna consciousness by the mercy of the spiritual master and takes to the path of devotional service. One is assured of eternal life with no fear of death. When Krishna appears, everyone is freed from fear of death. Yet Devaki felt, we are still afraid of Kamsa, although you've appeared as our son. She was more or less bewildered as to why this should be so, and she appealed to the Lord to free her and Vasudeva from this fear. In this connection, may be noted that the moon is one of the heavenly planets. From the Vedic literature, we understand that one who goes to the moon receives a life with a duration of 10,000 years in which to enjoy the fruits of pious activity. But if our so-called scientists are going to the moon, why should they come back here? We must conclude without a doubt that they have not gone to the moon. To go to the moon, one must have the qualification of pious activities. Then one may go and live there. If one has gone to the moon, why should he return to this planet, where life is of a very short duration? Martyo mrityu vala bhita pralayan lokan saran nirabhayam nyadigyachet tat twat padam jam prapya yadrichayadya shustak chete mrityor asmat apaiti. No one in this material world has become free from the four principles: birth, death, old age, and disease. even by fleeing to various planets. But now that you have appeared, my Lord, death is fleeing in fear of you. As the living entities, having obtained shelter at lotus feet by your mercy, are sleeping in full mental peace. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Denamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pasyatya Desatarne Vayam Dvitiya Niveshatasya Isharabhatasya Viparyo Smriti Tamayatayo Purabhajeta Tvam Bhaktiyaika Yesham Guru Devatatma. So this is the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is being explained by Uddhava that bhayam, fear is the basic principle of material existence. If anyone has noticed that we're always in fear, we're fearful of ultimately leaving this body. Because we think leaving the body will be very painful. It will not be very pleasant. And indeed, it usually is not very pleasant. And after leaving this body, we don't know where we're going. That's also fearful. Often, people, they deny that there is any future after this body. But often, when they're leaving their body, people, very nice, not good-looking people come and visit them, and they become very afraid. One devotee was explaining that her mother was quite disturbed. Oh, it was her father was quite disturbed. He kept on reporting that there was a dog in the room, in this hospital room, a hound, and that there were people outside. And then it was reported that some of them tried to grab him with ropes and were pulling him. And the devotee asked the nurses, is this very common? She said, yes, this is very common. They call it something, some phenomena, phobia, dying phobia or something. In other words, if people are sinful, there are agents of Yamaraj. And when you see them, especially with the ropes and the dogs and everything, there's good reason to be fearful, because your future will not be very bright. On the other hand, everyone is afraid, as explained here. Abrahma bhuvana loka punarvartanojana mamupetya tu konteya punarjanamana vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, there are all places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. So even Brahma, he's delegated most of his administrative duties to his assistants, and he's sitting in meditation because he's afraid of dying. He wants to make sure that his mind is fixed up at the lotus feet of Krishna when he leaves his body. Krishna tvadiya parapankaja panjaranjam adhyayava me vishitu manasaraja hangsa prane pranaya samaye kapa vatapitai kanto dvaru vido Smaranam kutaste, that at the time of leaving our body, our throats may be choked up with mucus, and therefore it may be very difficult to think about Krishna. Just like now, it is very easy to forget about Krishna. If we remember Krishna, it's quite extraordinary. It's not very extraordinary if we forget him. So we think, well, at the time of death, I'll take a shortcut, I'll remember him, and everything will be all right. Doesn't matter what I do now. But if we can't remember him when we're not disturbed, when the body is not disturbed, when the mental situation is not disturbed, how are we going to remember him when everything becomes disturbed? Just like if someone came into the room with a machine gun and said, you're all finished. So how many of us would immediately fix our minds upon Krishna? And how many of us would look for an exit? Therefore, bhayam dvitiya vineshitasya, this Abhineshita, Abhiniveshita, this is the final consciousness that's due to material absorption. It all begins with avidya. Avidya means we don't know reality. We don't know who we are. We don't know Krishna. We don't know the spiritual world. We don't know how things are actually going on here. We have all the wrong conceptions. That's called avidya. And because we're in ignorance, we don't know who we are, therefore we think ourselves to be something that we're not. That's called asmita, or false ego. And as soon as we get this body, along with the body comes a whole set of attachments and aversions. It is not that I like this person or I don't like this person. I'm being dictated to like and not like by this body and the mind. Now, if one sees a beautiful woman, a man, he's attracted in one way. And a dog is attracted in another way. He's also appreciating the beautiful woman, but he's thinking of a feast. And the man's thinking one way, and a other living entity, like a frog, couldn't care less. So therefore, according to the body we get a certain attraction and repulsion, a certain idea of what is good and what is bad. Originally, the soul doesn't think any of this is good or bad, because it's just varieties of inferior energy manifested itself in different ways. But due to the influence of illusion, we think something is very nice and something not nice. Just like this body, it is only covered by a very thin covering of skin. You may think one body looks very nice, but you peel the skin off, it doesn't look so nice anymore. Therefore, they say, it is all skin deep. Very superficial. This is due to attachment and aversion. We become attached to something, rag, and then we, after some time, dvesha, we become averse to it because it no longer satisfies our idea of what happiness is. And as one becomes absorbed in these attachments and aversions, then abhinivesita, one becomes very fearful, absorbed in the bodily concept of life, and thinking that I'm going to die, that with the death of the body, then I die. Naturally, no one wants to die because we're supposed to live forever. No one wants to disappear. What would be the point of existence if suddenly, pop, we're out of it? So, bhayam dvitiyani beshitasya, due to this absorption in false ego, we're always fearful. And why are we in this false ego? Why do we get it? Because ishada patasya viparyo smriti. Instead of being a cooperator with Krishna, we've now become his competitor, or we think we're his competitor. And due to this competitive attitude towards the Supreme Lord, our role has been reversed. Instead of trying to please and serve Krishna, coming into a very intimate relationship with him, we're trying to get away from him as much as possible. So Krishna has created this material world to help us escape from him. But the more we escape from him, just like the further the spark goes away from the fire, then the more it loses its glow. The spark may be thinking, the further I get away from the fire, the more powerful I'll become. But actually, he just becomes more and more weak. His original existence becomes dim. Isharabhatasya viparyo smriti tanmayatayo buddha avajetatvam. But those who have obtained a little of Krishna's some intelligence coming from Krishna, tanmayatayo buddha avajetatvam, that bhaktyaika yesham guru devatatma, then he takes to the shelter of Krishna through the process of devotional service. He accepts Krishna and his representatives as his guide, and comes back to his original consciousness. Otherwise, as it says here, everyone is looking for a way out of this place. Everyone is looking for some shelter, some refuge, even to go up to the heavenly planets, perhaps in this present society. People not knowing about the heavenly planets, they think if I can get a good job, I can work for a good boss who pays me a lot of money, and I can get a nice house, I can get a nice car, I can get a big bank balance, I can have very strong children, and I can teach them karate, and if the Yamadutas come to take me away by karate, they'll defeat them. And if my children lose, my dog will be infallible. He bites any stranger who comes. So this is called Deha Patya Kalatradishu Atma Sanyeshva Satsupi Tesham Pramato Nidanam Pashana Pina Pashati. That everyone, those who are Deha, the body, Kalatra, the wife, Deha Patra Kalatradishu, the children, the wife, and everything that follows from that. Atma Sanyeshva Satsupi. So these are supposed to be the things that will protect me. But they can't protect me, nor can they protect my body. But in spite of that, due to illusion, Pashana Pina Pashati. Although we see it, so many living entities are coming and going in this material world, still we can't see. Just like the rabbit, when it's attacked by a superior animal, then it closes its eyes and starts meditating. Oh, the animal went away. No worries. No worries, me. Mine. He thinks there's no worries, but next moment he's gobbled up by the animal. Similarly, the ostrich with its huge body, little head, when an animal comes to attack it, it puts its head into the sand, thinking, now I'm safe. So in the same way, our little attempts in this material world for safety wind up in the same place. Everyone winds up dead. There is no material protection. And certainly, if we try to simply find material protection without any spiritual protection, then we've simply wasted our time. Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvara Hari Shotavyak Skirtitavyas Cha Smartavyak Chehitavaya. Therefore, one should take shelter of the Supreme Lord, Sarvatma. Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvara Hari, who's the controller, the supreme opulent person, by hearing about him, by serving him, chanting about him, and by coming to the platform, becoming conscious of him. So people think we're wasting our time because why are we chanting Hare Krishna? Why are we doing all these different activities? Because they don't know that they're a soul. Atevidu swarthakatim hi vishnu darashaya ye bahir arthamani na. And therefore they take something completely insignificant as very important. People feel good if their cricket team wins. That's their highest ecstasy that they get. So if that's the highest ecstasy, there's not much to look forward to. And they feel very depressed if their cricket team loses. But if that's the worst thing that happens, worse things will happen to them. But they don't think about that. Because they're not properly educated. So here, a lot of emphasis is given on our insignificant duration of life, that we should take every moment very seriously, not that we think that I have plenty of time to enjoy here, the weather is good, the beach is happening, everything's happening at the beach. Why should I worry about Krishna? When I get old and I can't do anything, then I'll offer whatever I have to Krishna when I have nothing left. I'll surrender at the last moment. And in the meantime, just enjoy. And this Bhagavatam philosophy is so pessimistic, it's so depressing, it gives me a headache every time I read it, so I can't take it too seriously because it interferes with my devotion. Besides that, it's the same thing over and over again, that we're spiritual souls, and that we're going to die. We heard all this philosophy. But let's get real. Let's get practical. We have a life to live. I can't think about I'm a soul and then I'm going to die, then I won't be able to do anything. I'll get too morose. So let me put this philosophy here at once in a while and do a little service. So if worse comes to worse, at least I'll make it up to the heavenly planets. And in the heavenly planets, I'll have a good time there. They'll have surfboards there, and there'll be nice beaches. And it'll be just like Melbourne. So there won't be any real loss. But Bhagavatam is trying to discourage us from all this understanding of what we think is real and what we think is not real. He keeps on repeating the same points over and over again until finally it goes into our ear and stays there rather than just going out the other one. And then we realize that actually I better take this seriously now, because if not, then I'll be back in the womb of a mother wondering how did I get here again? And having to start all over again in the first grade class or the kindergarten, trying to learn how to finger paint, trying to Google, trying to take our, you know, eat our food without putting it all over our face. All over again, starting 1 + 1 = 2. Trying to hopefully come back in the association of devotees and start from more or less from where we left off, but having to waste another 15 years trying to get back to some kind of human consciousness again. I want to speak of living 9 months in the womb, being bitten, as it says, by worms and all kinds of uncomfortable situations. So we should try to take it as seriously as possible, try and make some progress. Even if this is not our last life, it should be one of the last lives. Not that Krishna Khan is so nice, I'm getting a little credit this life, a little credit that life, and maybe in 150,000 lives I'll make it. But Bhagavatam wants us to get out of here as quickly as possible, to go back to a place where we can actually begin our real life again, rather than just trying to imitate life here in this material world. So, thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
Okay. I'm sometimes hearing stories about people who are clinically dead for a certain amount of time. But
everyone's clinically dead.
Like on operating table or something.
Yeah.
And then they say they leave the bodies, but they say, oh, I didn't see anything, nothing happened, so therefore there is no life after death. So what happens in those cases where people do leave their body?
Well, we leave our body every night. We take our subtle body and we start flying around in dreamland. So people are leaving their bodies all the time. What happens to them? They get their karma. Whatever they're supposed to get. What is that? Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yad indriya priti aprinoti nasadamanye yata atmanoyam asana piklesha ashadeha. So an intelligent person, he doesn't become simply a servant of his senses. Because if he does, he's going to have to suffer so many miseries and take one body after another. Paravadas tavada bodha jato yavana jagnasitat matatvam yavan kriyas tavadidam manovai karmatmana yena sharira bandaha. So as long as one is absorbed in material consciousness, one is said to be defeated by ignorance. As long as one does not inquire about the nature of the absolute truth, one's consciousness will be covered by material desires. One's mind will be covered. As long as the mind is covered by material desires, one's consciousness will be covered and one will have to take one body after another. Evamana karma visham priyukte avidyatmanyupadiyamane prityarna yavan vamayi vasudeve namuchate deha yogena tadvat. So as long as one does not take up the process of devotional service, as long as one is evamana karma absorbed in material consciousness, Evamana karma pusham pranyukte, being directed by material energy. Avidyatman upadiyamane, covered by ignorance and identifying with different bodies. Pritirna yavan may vasudeve, as long as one does not develop love for Krishna, then so long he'll have to take one body after another. So they'll get a body, that's what will happen to them. Yes. Well, he was first. Oh, he left. There you go.
The sleep that the Srila Prabhupada is referring to, you couldn't clarify that, please?
The what?
The sleep.
Sleep.
In this text,
ordinary sleeping, ordinary.
Yeah, well, people can't sleep nowadays. They're too much in anxiety. What's going to happen tomorrow? They spend all night doing all kinds of things. Their minds are absorbed in so much anxiety, they can't sleep. But when one becomes Krishna conscious, at least he can sleep peacefully. Hey, yes? Anything else? Yes?
Prabhupada mentions about that man never landed on the moon.
Yes.
And how do you explain this to people?
To which people?
Like, what is the...
Most... A good percentage of people in America, at least, don't believe we landed on the moon. All you do is have to show them a movie of the moon landing, and it's such a rinky-dink thing that no one, who could ever in their right mind believe that we actually went there? There's so many flaws in the... Maybe 30 years ago, whatever, when they took so-called stage of the moon landing, it was impressing people because they didn't have the films available, the type of technology. But nowadays, if you look at the rinky-dink production they made of the moon landing, people will just laugh at it. They make much better scientific films nowadays. There's so many flaws in it. Like, you see them taking off from the moon, and there's not one speck of dust being raised. They landed, this huge rockets are blasting down, and there's not even one speck of dust flying in the air. And then the man jumps out of the space capsule. Unfortunately, he didn't realize that there's no gravity, so he just lands on the moon. Of course, they had to take that part out because it didn't fit. And then he lands, and all this dust flies around. So somehow or another, this little man has become heavier and more powerful than all this big rocket engine. See, you have to be more or less a fool or brainwashed to actually believe watching these things. And then you see the pictures that the man's on the moon, and you see right through the man, right to the spacecraft. So he suddenly, by being in the moon, he's becoming transparent. And then you see them taking off from the moon, and you see the same picture going back and forth, you know, being repeated again and again. So many different things. So there's so many discrepancies. Some people just have to be blind followers to accept it, that's all. Besides that, even everyone knows, you can read in any scientific book, that there's a layer of radiation called the Van Allen belt of radiation, that anyone who goes through it, because they send all these monkeys through them, they all get fried from the radiation. Then in order for a spaceship to go through it without getting the passengers not being killed, they'd have to have something like an inch thick of lead on the space surrounding the spacecraft. And during certain times, there are solar flares, and they'd have to even be thicker. So we're supposed to believe that they were flying these really thin spacecrafts, so many missions, and that everyone was perfectly healthy. There's so many discrepancies there. Even before they took off, one of the engineers who was supposed to be quality control, he wrote a whole report a year before they took off, explaining how the whole thing was a fiasco. And he appeared before the Congress with his report. Unfortunately, he didn't make any copies of the report. And within a week, he happened to fall asleep with his family on a railroad track with his car when the train happened to be passing by and happened to run over him and his family. And his report mysteriously disappeared. And another general who was in charge of the NASA at that time, he was also complaining. He suddenly got promoted out of NASA. So needless to say, there weren't too many more complaints after that. Although they found thousands of mistakes and flaws in the project, somehow or another, within a year, they fixed them all, went to the moon, and came back without even one problem. So they spent $55 billion or something like that on the moon landing, but most of it went into the movie production, which is pretty rinky-dink compared to nowadays. I think that's, yes?
Just one more question. As a living entity, I'm not too sure why I'm asleep at the lotus feet of Krishna when I'd probably rather be dancing and chanting.
Sleep? Lotus. Well, the idea is that service to Krishna. It may not be, the devotees are always thinking of Krishna in the mood of service. When we find out how wonderful Krishna is, how ecstatic it is to think about him in the mood of service, then we'll never want to depart from it because it becomes more and more pleasurable at every moment, unlimitedly pleasurable and becoming more pleasurable. Therefore, in every moment, the devotees are always thinking about Krishna in every way in service to him. So that's what lotus feet means. No, we won't sleep. And even if you do sleep, you'll dream of Krishna. Yes?
What do we think of the dreams?
Dreams?
Krishna appears in dreams or something.
Well, better Krishna appears when we're awake. This whole idea, oh, my spiritual master appeared, or Krishna appeared when I'm asleep, that's nice, but let him appear when we're awake also. Yes?
Actually, in the class, I think it was Sunday morning, you were talking about ecstatic love of Krishna and how it manifests different symptoms when it comes into touch with the five elements. So what does that actually mean, when, the existential ecstatic love comes into touch with the...
It means the ecstasy has a physical manifestation.
Yeah, but what does it mean when it actually comes into touch with those elements? I mean, how does that manifest itself?
How does the mind come in touch with the elements? It's already...
Ecstatic love comes in touch with the elements.
No, we're meditating on Krishna. Krishna is there, and we become ecstatic.
What does it mean, though, when it comes in contact with the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether?
It's already in contact. The mind is in contact. So the soul, when it's in... ecstatically involved with Krishna, produces ecstasy. And that ecstasy affects the mind and senses and the elements. The mind, senses, the material body, the soul is now also, by its presence, is causing, is giving energy to the body, the soul and the super soul. But that energy is very limited. But when it becomes on the platform of ecstasy, when it increases due to the ecstasy, then the mind and senses react, just like now our mind and senses are reacting also. We become depressed, we start crying, when we become, different states of material consciousness produce an effect on the body also. So ecstatic emotions will also produce effects on the body. Yes?
When already there is birth and death, why is there total annihilation?
Why is there? You think it's unfair? You have some complaint? Well, you give people a rest after going through this birth and death for so many billions of years. Need a rest. It gets tiring after some time. It's hard being born and dying for billions of years. Try it. So Krishna gives the break sometimes. Besides that, he needs a break. He's breathing in, but it's actually not very long. For us, it seems very long, but for him, it's just one breath. Just breathing in and breathing out, that's all. Has to have some time for a breath. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharashiman Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.